This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. I almost said Phoenix. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 26th, episode 2045, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
Do you know how some places at work have swear jars where you have to put a dollar in every time? I'm going to have a Phoenix jar, and you have to put a dollar in every time you screw that up.
World, it's Friday.
You'll be rich.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Friday morning. We have a lot to do on the show today, and Jennifer's going to tell us about it.
A lot going on here on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, and it starts out with KPP founder Karen, who has new ponies. So we're going to have new pony stories to tell. And then mid-show, good friend of the show, Randy Thompson, takes a page from her horse and rider awareness educational programs, and it's all about risk management. And after that, Kelly Hurd stops by, and he's got a cool contest for dog and jewelry lovers. I think that's pretty much 100% of us. And then racing to the finish, it's really badass. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Well, before we get to Daily Winnies, you know the name Kent Farrington, right? He's a jumper. Pretty renowned in the jumper world. Well, he bought a property in Wellington in 2015, 3 years ago. Now, get this, 10-acre property for $2.7 million. By the way, jumpers must do all right. So he buys that property in Wellington in 2015 for $2.7 million. He sold it last week for $14.25 million.
Stop that. Right now.
3 years, $11 million profit. He sold it to billionaire Taylor family from St. Louis. And the Taylor family apparently is into horses, too. How many rich people now are not into horses? I mean, they're all into horses, apparently. They bought it, and the Taylor family, if you don't know that name, it's because they run a business by a different name called Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
Hold on. Did they find gold in the ground on the property? Is that what happened?
It's because all of these super wealthy people are buying these properties for their kids and grandkids in Wellington, and it's driving the price through the roof of these places. He took an $11 million profit.
Rent-A-Car?
Enterprise
Rent-A-Car.
Yeah, yeah. It'll get you there.
It'll
apparently get you a very nice property, too. By the way, there is a... I'm sure your house at your place is this big. It has a 5-bedroom home of 9,000 square feet. That isn't enough. So they're building additional living quarters there. They're putting in two more barns, one of 9,000 square feet and one of 8,000 square feet. They're also putting in new rings, a water jump, new fencing, and modifications to the grooming quarters. So apparently their $14.25 million farm was not good enough. We have to fix it. It's a fixer-upper.
That's crazy talk. Way to go. That's how jumpers make money right there. Yeah. Sell their stuff.
I don't care how much I love my property. If I was going to make $11 million profit in 3 years, I'd be selling that sucker.
Bye-bye.
Sell it. All right. How do you make money in the horse world? You come with it. So Daily Winnie goes to Winx. Talk about making money. Winx, W-I-N-X, that is truly one of Australia's best racehorses ever. Yeah. Winx is going to be running in the Cox Plate, which is their really big race. It's a $5 million race Saturday, tomorrow. It was started in 1922, and Winx is chasing her 29th straight win. Yes, 29 wins in a row.
Let that soak in.
Yeah.
29 in a row.
I don't think a winner here in the United States, they don't let them run that long. They don't run them that long anymore.
I mean, Zenyatta went 19 for 19, and then Black Caviar over there, she went like 20, two in a row, 23 something. That was in Australia too. Now their races, she's a bit more of a sprinter, and I feel like she just ran a couple weeks ago.
She did
so
run like a month or two ago. This will, by the way, it's her favorite and her fourth Cox Plate, of which she has won, you know, many, three others.
Yeah.
So she won by a record 8 lengths in 2016. She also set a record, a track record of 2 minutes, 2 seconds, or 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 seconds. And last year beat her time by shaved off a couple of hundredths of a second last year. So she set the record twice in this race. Now, there's an interesting video going around, and I'd like to play it for you because it explains why she is doing so well, and it has to do with her stride. So you want to hear that?
It's kind of
arguably the best ever. But have you ever wondered why she is so fast? I mean, at the end of the day, she's made of the same blood, bones, and mane as her competitors. Or is she? Exactly what is the science behind the greatness which has powered Winx to reach the heights that she has? For starters, let's look at her stride. It's not massive. In fact, she has an average of only 6.53 metres at full flight. When next to the great black caviar, who had a massive 8.5-metre stride, it actually pales in comparison. But Winx turns that perceived disadvantage into a key asset, achieved through her unbelievably high stride frequency, her cadence, if you will. When in full motion, she takes around 85 strides every 30 seconds. The average Group 1 horse, just 70. And she keeps up that stride rate when fatigue kicks in. The standard top class galloper struggles to maintain 12 footfalls every 5 seconds, while Winx continues at a whopping 14, even in the closing stages of a race, explaining how she reels off sprinter sectionals in middle distance events. That frequency and stamina is backed up by her incredible physiology. Her lungs distribute 10,000 litres of air per race. Her heart beats 140 times per minute, distributing 30 litres of blood to her muscles, which are comprised of higher density slow twitch fibres, which use oxygen more efficiently to aid endurance and allow her to sustain her top speed for a longer period than her rivals. It's a lethal mix, well, for her rivals anyway. Winx is a perfectly built, impeccably balanced equine athlete. Ironically, Chris Waller and Hugh Bowman have a more simplistic view of what sets the legend apart. They say her will to win and her determination are her greatest attributes. Physically, yes, she's special, but mentally, wow. That's where she's unequaled, unrivaled, and most definitely beyond compare. So this Cox Plate Day, who are you backing? Winx or Winx?
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, that was really good. I got goosebumps. I got all teary.
Can you imagine that number of strides in 30 seconds? That's just crazy. It's just crazy.
And, you know, the racehorse people, the very traditional racehorse people, they want to grow that toe out really long so the horse has more reach. But what basically is making her win is she has a shorter stride, and so she can just turn them out faster, you know? That's amazing. So screw the low heel, long toe of the thoroughbred. Let's bring it back to Winx style. Do it.
And of course, we see the mares running longer too, don't we? I mean, we always see the mares running longer because if you have a winning stallion, you want to get them making babies right away.
Yeah, but same with the mares too. I mean, this is just a special horse. I mean, my gosh, $5 million race for the fourth time in a row she would win it. That's I think their Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm so excited to see this and how. But that video, and by the way, I could listen to that woman talk all day.
Oh my God, I was trying to imitate her. Well, why do you think that? I was like, I can't do it.
No, just she just is smooth. Hey,
you know how positive and uplifting your Daily Winnie was?
Yeah.
Mine's going to be opposite. Go ahead.
Okay.
Do you remember those kids' toys where the little box and they have the shapes and they have to put the shapes through the holes in the box? And like, you know, the star goes into the star and the moon shape goes into the moon shape into this box. And it's plastic and it rattles around a lot. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. Yep.
Okay. Imagine if you had, you know, there's supposed to be like six toys that go into that box. Imagine if you had 127 toys you were trying to cram into that box. That's me trying to move into this house. I did not have a big house in Arizona, but it was 2,500 square feet. And I just moved into a 1,000 square foot house. It's a 1,000 square foot. I have been overestimating. I don't know where to put stuff. I don't have much, but it will not fit in this house. I'm going crazy. So anyway,
that, by the way, is smaller than our house, which is pretty small.
It's just going to be amazing. It's just going to be that much sweeter. That's why I have to leave right after the show, because I'm meeting with the builder, because I can't. I need.
So you're
to
not
get
in
the
yet.
House. Let's get started. No, I'm still in my mother-in-law's.
Is she sick of you yet? Is she kicking?
Oh God, they must be. Must be. Oh shoot! I didn't have my.
You notice I didn't ask if you were sick of her yet. I asked if they were sick of you. You know. You notice that. Right?
I know. But I have really exciting news. Is as I'm trying to get all this work done yesterday, a neighbor stops by. A lady. She rides, I guess, and she's like, "I noticed you guys were moving in, and I'm looking for a riding partner." And she comes out of the car. She comes around and she just starts hanging out. I'm like, "Cool. Hi, how are you?" She's like, "Well, tell me about your horses." And of course, it's one of those people that like, "Oh, this is my horse. He's a..." And then she interrupts you with like her story. Mm-hmm. And then, "Oh, well, yeah. Tell me about the house you're living in." "Well, it's kind of a bit of a mess right now. Our house was this, you know. Let me tell you." So I was already like a little bit like, this is rubbing me the wrong way. But I'll tell you, the moment our friendship took a crash and burn.
quickly, in 5 minutes.
The potential for us to ever spend any time together ended with her saying one sentence.
Oh, no. She's Clinton Anderson.
Worse. Worse. Okay, she says to me, "So, what horses do you have out there?" And I was like, "Oh, I've got, you know, a couple Oldenburgs, a pregnant mare, and a baby, a couple racehorses I just got." I was like, "I got my Mustang." And she's like, "What? You have a Mustang?" And I said, "Yeah, he's a Mustang. He's out there." And, "Well, where'd you get him?" I said, "I got him in Carson City, Nevada." She goes, "You brought a Mustang all the way across the country? Why would you do that? You have a Mustang and you like brought him all the way here? Why?"
That was it.
Excuse me? Like, why would you bring a Mustang here? I mean, all the way across the country? Like, why would you waste your time with a Mustang bringing it across? And I was like, "Okay, we're done here. I'm sorry. Did you just try to Mustang shame me? What are the people in the world who loves that breed more than any other breed in the world, and you're trying to shame me for bringing a Mustang?" She was like, "You took it all the way from Nevada to Arizona and then Arizona to Oklahoma. Do you know how many Mustangs there are in Oklahoma? Am I supposed to shoot him in Arizona? Leave him there?"
You know what amazes me sometimes too is that when you're gonna...
My blood's boiling right now just remembering that conversation.
What amazes me is that people don't Google you more before they do business with you, because if they did one Google search, you're gonna show up literally on about 1,000 pages of Google. And then they're going to go, "Maybe I shouldn't say things to this woman who has tens of thousands of listeners around the world."
I did. I Googled myself like a month ago because I was buying that horse.
Am I wrong? It's about 1,000 pages, because you're on every show notes page we do.
Every show notes. I mean, it was all Horse Radio Network.
Yep.
Like, there's no question about what I do for a living, because I pop up because you tag me in everything on Google. Yep. And the search engines. Yep. And I'm like, it's like me being sarcastic and making fun of something, or me saving a Mustang, or me doing... Yeah, you should have Googled me.
A piece of advice for anybody that gets a new neighbor, maybe you want to look them up before you go over and say anything to them. Anything.
Oh my God, but even if it wasn't like, even if it was just ignore, why would you say that to somebody about their horse?
Yeah, why would you say that about her horse?
Your horse is worthless. Why would you bring it here?
That's basically
like vermin.
What she said. I assume there will not be a loving, caring relationship with your new neighbor.
You know, Glenn, and you know this, I'm a bit of a hugger. Like, I uncomfortably hug people when they leave or when I see them, meet them. I'm like, "Hey, bring," you know, just hug people.
I am too. And so when you meet us, you are going to be scared to death between the two of us.
We're going
to
hug you. Yeah. However, I did not hug her. That goes a long way.
I bet you didn't.
I'm a changed person. I've gotten rid of saddle pads and I didn't hug a stranger. Okay.
Sounds like you're going to need to get rid of more furniture too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's sitting out in my lawn right now getting rained on.
All right, let's go to our first guest.
We're having a Mustang. Who do you think you are? I hope you Google me right now and you're like, oh my God, I screwed up. Wonder why she didn't hug me afterwards.
Karen, you think people would learn not to say anything to Jamie knowing that tens of thousands of people in 90 countries are going to hear about it?
Well, you would think that they wouldn't say anything bad about somebody's horse.
Yeah, I mean,
that's like saying something bad about somebody's kid. I mean, really, would you go, oh my God, why did you bring that fat child across the country? I mean, how would you?
Thank you. Thank you. That's how I felt. I was like, why would you? I mean, even if it was like the beautiful, how about Karen, you know what? I don't know why anybody would feed their horse supplements. It don't work.
That's exactly. There you go. Oh, Chad, I've had people say that to me too, Jamie. Don't worry.
I know. Chad was like, Chad goes, please don't. But everybody in Oklahoma is not like her. I promise. Everybody.
Poor Chad.
Chad
on pins
was
and needles.
There when this happened. And he was like, oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Please. And I was like, you know what? I need to leave.
How did you get out of that without slapping her? How'd you walk away?
How can I get rid of this lady?
Yeah.
Let me help. Let me show you to your car. We really have a lot of other things to do now. Thank you.
She's like, I don't envy the work you have to do. And I was like, great. I need to probably get back to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about me, Karen. Tell me about you.
Well, let's introduce Karen for those that don't know.
Oh, yeah. Karen is the goddess of Kentucky Performance Products, and she is the brains and brawn behind the organization. And she's also an avid equestrian and horse lover and sponsor of many riders and owner of many beautiful horses, including the tiniest, cutest little pony I just saw. Tell me about this little pony you got. First of all, let me stop you because you built a barn and you built it with how many stalls?
I did. I built it with four stalls.
Four stalls. And I believe you
this was an attempt to limit the number of horses that I get.
You got two more to limit the number of horses?
You have to do something to limit it. Well, yeah, it's not working very well, is it?
Five horses, four stalls. It's going to be happening. Okay, talk to me about what you did.
So I'm already kind of there with five horses, but well, the ponies count as one because when you add their weights together, they're between 900 and 1,000 pounds. So they're just one horse.
You tell Scooter he counts as half a horse, he will kick you.
No, I love it. Well, I love
these guys are happy. They're happy to be half a horse. So you know, it's just terrible. You know, my kids went to college and I took a break. When I had my children, because I had a business and my children and I was a single mom, and it was just really impossible to do the horses because when I do the horses, I do the horses, you know, there's no in between. It's like horses or no horses. So I took a break and then the kids, they're gone. They went to college. They're out of college. They're successful. It's all good. And I was like, I think I need to go back to horses. And I did in a big way. So now I have two, competition horses that are with Reese at Maple Crest Farm. One that she's riding for me, who we hope to be an upper level horse. And then Reese helped me buy a horse for me to ride. So at the beginning of this year, I decided I was going to start riding again. And Reese she's fantastic. I can't say enough about her. She's wonderful. She builds your confidence. She puts you on lovely horses. And
for those that don't know,
amazing.
She's talking about Reese Coffler-Stanfield, who's host of our dressage radio show and a Grand Prix dressage rider.
Yes.
Doesn't this make you want to live in
Kentucky?
She's
amazing.
Oh, all these cool people that live near each other. Sorry, carry on.
Know,
so you're
so
riding
lucky.
Some horses and you've got.
So anyway, I have those horses. And then I had another horse that I was getting ready to retire. He had metabolic disease. And I thought, well, you know, I've got these horses now and I've got this farm and I had a little barn here. And I thought I really need to have a place for them to come and retire if for some reason they need to come home, I needed a barn. So I built one. Why not? Right. So I built this nice barn, and it's all set up with 14 by 14 stalls, and off the stall is a loafing pen, and each loafing pen goes into the dry lot, and the dry lot goes into the field. So all these layers of ability to take care of these horses. And unfortunately, the horse that was going to come here, he had a very bad metabolic episode, and we had to put him down, which was, I can't talk about it too much, I'll cry. So the barn was here, and it's done, and is empty. There was no horses in it, and that just can't happen.
No,
I can't. So I've always had a warm spot in my heart for ponies. And so I thought, well, I'll just get a pony, you know, because I'm going to have some horses coming in and out. I'll have some horses coming here for the winter with it because their owners are going to Florida, and then they'll go home in the spring, and then I'll have another horse coming in. And I needed to have a companion in case I had one horse at a time.
Sure.
So I found a companion horse, and then I thought, well, oh, that horse will be alone. So I need to have two companion horses so that they have companions for each other.
You need
so
a companion horse for your companion horse. Yeah, duh.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, they'll be lonely. If you can't, they're herd animals. You can't do that to them. So I went online and I found the Kentucky Equine Humane Society, which is an amazing, or center, which is an amazing place. And they rescue horses. And I went online and I saw some cute ponies, and I put in my application, and I sent the pictures of my place, and I proved I lived here, and I sent them pictures of my other horses, and I called all my references. I mean, you have no idea how thorough this vetting was. I mean, it was like, yes, we know who you are, but we don't care. You still have to do all these things. And then they said, oh, you passed. So
you're
I went over. Don't you know who I am?
That's right.
Well, I mean, they knew who I was because we donated product to them and stuff, but they were still like, oh, no, it doesn't matter. You have to go through the whole process. And I'm like, not a problem. Here, what else do you need? I mean, I was sending them everything I had. See, look.
There's a file of
and, 5 years of tax returns.
And I was going to look at, yeah, everything. They want to know everything about you. They call your friends and they go, does she hug her horses? Does she hug them? Because it's important. She has to be a hugger.
Really?
It was so funny. Yes, they actually asked me that question. Are you a hugger? Do you hug your horses?
Are you for real? Okay.
Yeah, that's what she asked me. She asked me a bunch of other questions, and then she goes, and do you hug your horses? Are you a hugger? Are you that kind of horse person?
What did you say?
I said, oh, my God, I hug them every day, multiple times, because I do.
Okay. Awesome.
I didn't lie, Jamie. Jamie, don't you hug your horses?
Yeah, I just try not to get whacked in the jaw by one. Get off me, woman. Give me some food.
Oh, my horses are all broke to hugging. They have to be part of being owned by me. That's one of the criteria. Okay, are they huggable? Because are they in your pocket? Because I don't want to own them unless they are. They have to be that way.
Okay, see, so all mine start out way too suspicious.
So now I got to tie this back into your real job. You get new ponies. So what do you do when you get new ponies to determine what supplements you're going to put them on?
Ah, well, you know, these two ponies are living, we're living basically just on hay. And they were in a dry lot up there because, you know, ponies in Kentucky, you cannot let them out on this grass because it's an instant founder case. There's just too much sugar in it. So the first thing I did was brought them home and started them on a little microphase. So it's just like a vitamin and mineral pellet. And it's like a one a day vitamin for your horses. So that's the first thing they got, and it's an alfalfa based pellet. So I just put that in their little feed tubs, and they just thought that they had died and gone to heaven because they got something to eat in the morning because they weren't getting anything. But hey, at the facility, they looked wonderful, the weight wise. Yeah, which is really just not enough. But in a big facility like that, when they're taking care of so many horses, I mean, they do a beautiful job and the horses look great. But this will just spec up their nutrition a little bit more. And then this morning I started them on Elevate maintenance powder so that they would get the vitamin E they need. Because with just getting straight hay and, you know, I take them out and graze them for about a half an hour a day on nice grass, that's still not enough to get their vitamin E levels up. So that's what they're getting now. So they get 2 ounces of microphase and they get 7 grams of Elevate, and they get 1.5 ounces of sweet feed, low starch sweet feed, just to kind of mix it all in there. I measured it out, an ounce and a half.
These ponies know
an ounce and a half. It's like a little cup. It's like a shot glass full of
shot glass.
It's like it's a Naalox advanced scoop. It's so funny. So I have my horse scoop in the grain, and then I have this little bitty like supplement scoop, and I go, "Oh, that's the pony scoop for grain. That's it."
Hey, by the way, before you get off of Elevate, we also give it to Scooter for the same reason, because he can't have grass. So we've been feeding, we've been giving him all summer because we can't turn him out. He gets too, he was actually starting to get hot feet, so.
Yeah, it'll happen pretty quick. Even in Florida, that's saying something.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where I can put my dry lot. I'm like going out and killing grass just seems so weird to me. Yeah. But you just have to do it. I've got a Mustang and a pony here, and they just cannot have this 18 acres of lushness. So we're kind of in the same boat as you guys. So Elevate is the thing to do, huh? Just if they can't get the grass, that kind of replaces that vitamin E.
Absolutely. Yep, that's the ticket. Yeah, and any horse that doesn't get grass needs to have it.
In Arizona, there was a big problem at one of the barns that I boarded at. I didn't board at it. One of the barns I rode at, and all of their horses kind of started having weird, like behavioral issues. And they realized that all of the horses had low vitamin E because they're in the desert at a boarding stable. There's no grass. So they started having to supplement with Elevate. I'm sure they use Elevate. I mean, that's the one to use. And so they had to put every horse on that to keep them just a little happier. And so I guess that when you lose that vitamin E, it kind of presents itself in different ways for different horses.
Oh, well, what it does is, I mean, it's the main antioxidant that horses use to protect their muscles and nerve cells and their immune system. Mm-hmm. So it's critical. And it's not in the hay. Once you cut the hay, the vitamin E disappears, just like most vitamins. And some feed companies will put some vitamin E in their product. If they put natural vitamin E, it's not enough usually. And most of them use synthetic, which horses don't utilize very well. They just don't absorb it.
But
so they're really not getting it.
Yeah, the problem with that is, the feed companies put it in, that's great, except I can't feed my horse. I have to feed him a shot glass full of feed a day. So I can't give him enough.
Even if you fed him.
Yeah.
Even if you fed him to the recommended amounts, it's not enough. Especially if you're riding them, they need more than they're getting. And what it does is it causes muscle soreness, and it also causes issues with the nerves. And they have done the research that shows that if horses that are deficient for 18 months or more are much more likely to get equine motor neuron disease, well, much more likely to develop that.
Let me tell you, Karen.
So it's really imperative. I mean, it's an essential nutrient that horses have to have.
I didn't know that we were going to be in a vitamin E conversation here, but something happened with Scooter. We've been 3 months now off of grass, and he's got his hay, and he's been on Elevate for all that time. And so we took him out for the first time after it finally got below 90 degrees here after 4 months the other day. And he was so full of himself. He has not been that full of himself driving in years. And we kind of attribute to his feet don't hurt anymore. You know, he's just feeling better. His muscles are feeling better. It's just what you just said. He just is for the first time feeling better.
Karen, what did you name these cute little ponies of yours?
Okay, well, that's been an ongoing saga because the big pony, his name was Taco when he came, but I have a very good friend whose horse's name is Taco, who's going to come live here, so we can't have two tacos.
Can't have two tacos.
We went round and round, but
only Taco Bell can you get two tacos.
Like, oh, you named him Burrito.
I love
Burrito.
That.
Name him. I'm like, okay, wait.
Chimichanga.
So I ended up naming him Mocha because he's this really neat chocolate-colored liver chestnut. Mm-hmm. So his name is going to be Mocha. And the other one started out, it's kind, you know, they kind of name themselves if you wait long enough. Mm-hmm. So this other one, her name was Buckeye, which is, she's a girl, and Buckeye, I don't know. I kind of felt like it was a boy's name. So we started out, she was going to be Snickerdoodle. And then we went with, well, wouldn't she be a cute little cookie? And then this morning she's a little chestnut palomino. She's very much a redhead. She's very much a mare, and she was kind of feisty this morning. And so I said, "Oh, your name is Ginger." That's it.
I love it. I love it. You know, I was worried about you. I was worried about you. If you walk into the barn and you have a mocha and a snickerdoodle, you're going to get diabetes in your barn. It's just too much sugar.
I know.
So
I
love the name the Ginger. Perfect.
Yeah. And it fits her perfectly because she's, you know, her issue was that she wasn't really, she's little, 10 hands. And nobody really ever made her do anything. So she thinks she can just do whatever she wants. And she just shakes her head and stamps her feet. And it's like, no.
I'm looking at your picture holding her, and she just has an attitude. She can, even in the picture, you can see the attitude. It's like, all right, I'm letting you hold me for about 4 seconds, and then I'm done with this. I'm out of here.
Oh, yeah. And she stands there, and she just paws, you know, when you tie her up, because she doesn't want to be tied up. She paws, 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 paws. And it's like, fast speed, you know, it's like, hey, you're going to wear out your foot.
Yeah.
You're not going anywhere. So
put a rubber mat under there. She'll figure it out.
That's what's there and she'll figure it out. But she's already she's better. I mean, she wants to please. They both do. And Mocha, he had kind of a rough start in life. So he, like you say, he's very suspicious.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, you have to approach him straight and you have to kind of crouch down a little bit because he's a little nervous if you're too tall. And if you do anything quick around him or anything behind him, he doesn't like even when I'm picking up the poop in the dry lot, he will turn to face me wherever I am. Mm-hmm. So he needs somebody to really love him and prove to him that people are not bad. And so I may be calling you for advice.
My pleasure. Anytime. Get them some dually halters and then we'll go from there. I'm super excited for you, Karen. Congratulations on your ponies. They're going to just fill your heart and your barn so much. It's awesome. And they have won the lottery of owners. That's for dang sure. So congratulations. And thank you so much for coming on and talking to us. And now I need to go get some more Elevate powder for my horses. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
All right. It was great talking to you guys. Everybody have a good weekend.
All right. See
you
Karen.
Too. Bye. Remember how when she used to come on, she'd be so nervous.
Yeah.
Now she's like,
I know. She didn't want to come on with us 10 years ago, but now she just talks away. And by the way, it's kppusa.com if you want to check out the Elevate powder for your fat horse or pony that needs to be on restrictions, but still needs its vitamin E. All right. Next guest up, we have a good friend of mine. She's been, I saw her at WEG a bunch of times before the hurricane. I don't think I saw her after the hurricane. I don't know if she got blown away or what the problem was. But
hopefully she didn't. She's hopefully on hold.
We saw her at WEG, and she deals a lot in the business side of the horse world. Her name is Randy Thompson. Hi, Randy.
Good morning. How are you doing this beautiful morning?
Good. You know, Randy's been 40 years of experience in the horse industry. She founded Horse and Rider Awareness Educational Programs. How to Market Your Horse Business was another one of those. And she basically knows the ins and outs. And she comes on occasionally to help out, to help us out and to talk a little bit about what us horse owners should be doing and not doing. And that's what we're talking about today, right?
Yes, that's right. The what ifs.
Well, okay.
What you need to know about protecting your horses and yourself.
The what ifs. All right. Well, let's start with what if number one.
All right. So the what ifs are, you know, we love being around horses. It's important to us. It's a passion for us. But what we forget is that we know, you know, we've been around horses so often, so long that we assume that other people have the knowledge that we do. And the problem with that is that most people, when they look at what we're doing with horses, it's a fantasy for them. You know, they think of, remember Fury the Brave Stallion, that TV show?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they imagine, that they're going to get on this beautiful, magnificent black horse and go galloping across the field or whatever. Well, reality is horseback riding is a high risk sport. So it's up to us to make sure that the people we bring around our interest, our love, are safe first and that they have fun second. So as you said, most of the work I do is with professionals, but even what the professionals have to deal with is similar to what normal horse people have to deal with in the horse world. And one of the things that has come about that many people have heard about are the equine liability statutes. I know you have them down there in Florida.
Yeah, we
well.
Do. We have the sign on our gate coming in and we have the sign on our arena.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because we're going a little bit into the pro thing. But what I found is that attorneys, because I do horse, I work in the legal field with the horse industry. I'm a horse expert witness. And I've had attorneys say that even horse owners should be, and it's not just the professionals, they're recommending that horse owners post the equine liability statute signs and the release form, hand that out. But you're talking about the sign at the gate, right?
Yeah, and I think Jennifer can help me with this, but I think that in Florida, every horse owner is supposed to have that sign, period. Right, Jennifer? That the liability sign?
Yes, it seems to be that if you have horses, you have it, whether you're a professional or a backyarder. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that's happening everywhere. And it's got to be. The thing is it needs to be more than one sign. Every case I've done, without question, every time somebody's questioned if they've seen that equine liability sign, nobody has seen it.
Mm. Well, do you think that they really didn't see it, or it was conveniently they didn't see it?
Well, they may not have seen it because, again, we're talking about non-horse people who are coming in that are not professionals, and they're living this fantasy. Mm. So they're just so excited to be around horses that they may not see the signs. So what I recommend is that you put up a lot of signs, like on the gate, at the entrance to the barn, at the tack room.
I've got the solution for that.
They
need to make horse blankets and horse maybe fly sheets that have it dye sublimated, printed, that have that printed onto the horse blanket. So the horse comes out of the stall or he's standing in the field and he has that warning just written across his whole body.
I know, but then you have to have people read it.
Yeah,
and they're
true.
Just so excited to see
that's
the
true.
Horse,
they
right?
They saw it. It was on the horse.
How about we just make it simpler? How about we just make it simpler and have it say, stay the hell away from my horse? That would be simple.
I know. Well, you just... Don't we almost get that way? I mean, you know, like we like to share our horses with people, but the reality is the people we're bringing around, how do we protect them and keep them safe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, that's the thing about it. Now, go ahead.
I was going to ask, so on that note, so we got friends coming over, you know, they're stopping by or whatever. Jamie, you run it as a business out there. Do you have them sign a liability before they get on a horse or do anything with a horse, even if it's just they're there for fun?
So the law in Arizona, from what I understood, was the sign. You kind of had, it's more of a cowboy kind of thing.
Yeah.
You'll protect the horse owner more. But you had to have the sign visible is what a police officer told me. But even with that, I still had releases drawn up and had everybody sign a release just so you, there was no way you could say, I didn't know. Because here, yeah, I didn't see the sign. Well, the sign's standing right in front of, you know, post right where you groom the horses and get tacked up. I didn't see it. Oh, but you signed this piece of paper that said you could die.
Well, that brings up something else because you're right about the release form. And people that are not professionals are also using them to protect themselves, as you guys were saying. But the release form, so many people, they'll hand somebody a release form and they just put it in front of them and say, sign this, right? That doesn't hold up in the court of law.
Hmm.
Why?
You have to be able to present a release form and, for example, the first paragraph, have them read it while you're standing there or a staff member, and then initial it.
Oh,
so you have to be able to prove if something... Yeah, no, I'm serious. You have to be able to prove that you have presented the release form and that they understand what they're signing.
You mean people can't be responsible for reading their own crap they're signing?
They usually don't. So usually when you go to a whatever sport event or whatever, the parents will be handed a release form and they just sign it without reading it.
So wouldn't that be kind of their problem and not my problem?
No. It's your problem as a professional because you did not present the release form.
Gosh.
And I guess
okay,
that's
so
why
now
I'm thinking about, we bought a car the other day, a used car, and I'm thinking about all the forms we signed, and you have to initial 55 places in each page. And I guess that's why, is
that's
because,
right.
Yeah.
Do you know what is funny?
Yeah,
just
and
on
yours
a side
is-
note.
Yeah.
Are the closing documents for the house we just sold? They had put the money that we still owed on the house, the closing people got it wrong and say we still owed like $300,000 and we were selling the house for $300,000, right? So basically, they ended up accidentally, the closing document put all of the money that we owed along with the purchase price and put that up. So it was like $800,000. These people signed it that they owed $800,000 on this. They didn't even look at the price of the house they were buying.
They don't even look. Right?
We were like, Yeah. So I guess if you cannot, you know, we're buying a house and you don't read the form, why would you
Let's circle around. I'm just a backyard horse owner. I have four horses. That's most of our listening audience. And maybe they have the horses at home. Maybe they're at a barn, whatever, but they have their horse. And now friends come over, and every friend comes over thinks they want to ride your horse, no matter what the horse is. It could be a thoroughbred right off the track.
Beat a treat.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
So what do you recommend they do?
Well, I've gotten to the point where I don't know if I would even take guests back to see the horses unless I keep them guard dogging, I call it, where they're totally in my control the whole time. And as far as treats go, they have to be fed. The horses get fed treats out of a bucket or a little container so that nobody gets their fingers bitten.
Jamie loves that.
You have to protect. Well, we have to protect them because they don't know the inherent risk. They don't know if they run up quickly behind the horse, you know, old gobbler that never does anything might kick them.
Yeah. Isn't that it's sad, though. It's sad that we have to be that way.
It is, but it's to what I've learned, you know, at first when I got into the legal side of the horse business, I was like, oh, you know, it's just people suing for money. Reality is they're not suing for money. They're suing. These laws and rules have been created because so many people have been injured or worse. So these rules and laws have been created to protect people.
Okay, so we have time
for,
we have time for one more. Let's do one more what if.
Okay, one more what if. Well, let's just talk, let's see, let me look through the list that I have here. Oh, let's talk about emergency things, like, for example, the natural disasters, where what if you're not home,
okay,
and a natural disaster, we'll use the example of a fire, because there's a lot of fires going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the one thing that everybody's been told for years, and we talked about this earlier, Glenn, was hang a halter by your horse's stall, right? The problem is that what if you're not there? When the emergency personnel come in, they usually don't know anything about horses. If they're firemen, they're wearing all these big fireman outfits. So these horses that you love and they're used to you and everything, all of a sudden these monsters, these Halloween people are walking in their barn with all these big outfits and these big gloves, and they're trying to figure out, you know, what's a halter?
Hmm.
They don't know what a halter is. They don't even know how to put it on a horse. So I would recommend leaving ropes or something by the stall so that emergency personnel have something else they can use, because chances are they're not going to be able to put a halter on.
Well, especially if it's a situation where you have to get them out quickly. Even as a horse husband, some of these halters I have to go, okay, now let's go. Which way does this go?
So. I know.
If I had to do it quickly, I'd be stuck.
And then the other thing, one other thing I'd like to mention, I know our time is limited, is the plans on, you know, you've got your horses. What if something happens, and what happens to your horse? You know, if something happens where you're hurt majorly or worse, do you have something, estate planning? What happens to your horse if something happens to you?
Oh, so you're saying make sure you put the horse in the will.
That's right. And one other thing that's really important is if you're boarding or keeping your horse somewhere, and what ifs again, somebody needs to know how much you're willing to spend to save that horse.
Okay.
For example, what if?
Yep. We had that happen. We had a horse that was boarded with us. The owners went away to a foreign country. It was before cell phones. We had no way to contact them. They were gone for a long time. The horse colicked, needed surgery, but we didn't have permission to spend $10,000 on that horse. It wasn't written in the contract that there was a limit, you know, that they were willing to spend up to this amount. That is something that we dealt with personally.
What a nightmare.
The horse
That's
died.
Right.
The horse died. We didn't have permission to spend $10,000.
Yeah.
So it was a terrible situation. It put us in a terrible situation. So, yeah.
Oh, yes, because it can be $10,000 is cheap, you know, and you're just thinking you want to save somebody's horse, and they may not be able to.
And what complicated this one, Jamie, it was one of those owners that only came out twice a year. So you really had doubts whether they were going to want to spend that, right? So
that's why I don't like those kind of borders. But anyway, this has been fascinating. We could talk to you forever, but I'm kind of frightened right now about I need to get home because I need to make sure nobody's in my pasture. My God.
And hang those signs all along the outside fence.
yeah. Right.
We need to talk about it.
It's true that at first when we hear these things, we get a little bit afraid. But we need to wake up and realize that this is a high-risk sport and that it's our responsibility to protect not only our home, our horses, but the people that we bring around them.
Randy, how can people get a hold of you to find out more?
Well, you know, I'm all over Facebook, so they can find me under Randy Thompson. My website is horseandriderawareness.com.
Fantastic.
Very good. And
well,
I know you do clinics everywhere
on.
Too. So
yeah, exactly. So
thanks, Randy.
Where they can meet you and see you and hear more.
As always, a pleasure.
All right.
Thank you for everything you guys do. You make a difference wherever you go.
All right. Thanks, Randy. Thank you. Appreciate it. God, you know, I could not be an expert witness. It would scare the crap out of me.
You know what's funny is my sister-in-law, her little daughter, she's 12, Rachel, she used to ride a pony at a place last summer. And I guess Tater Tot was a really bad pony. Tater Tot or Peanut Butter or something like that. And so they came out and, what horses do you have? And I was showing them the new race horses. And I was like, and there's Zeus. He's the Mustang. Oh, I want to ride Zeus. I said, well, I like you, so I'm not going to do that to you.
That's right.
My daughter rode Tater Tot, and she was like the toughest pony at the whole thing. And they had like a connection. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. Like, ever. That's not a real thing. Like, your daughter rode a school pony.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, this is a Mustang who has behavioral problems. So I was like, we're going to keep you safe at first. Okay. There's Duke. Yeah, he's 24.
That's right.
He's loved.
I can barely move and that's perfect.
Exactly. You could literally set off a bomb underneath him and he'd be like, what was that?
It is interesting. We don't think about things sometimes when people do come out, and everybody that comes out that has ridden once on a trail ride 30 years ago thinks they can ride.
Oh, my kid went to camp when they were 12.
Yep.
How old are they? 42.
42. Yeah, and haven't ridden since. Exactly. But they can ride. They did it before. It's just like a bicycle.
As a riding instructor, a person who, like, I take clients, I've always, when the parents say what they do, they always start it on chili no matter what. Because I'm not going to put you in my daughter is a 2.6 jumper. You know, she canters around. She shows. It doesn't matter. You can start on chili because I know he's not going to do anything wrong. Just the way it is.
All right. Well, we're very excited. We are rocking and rolling today, guest after guest. And our next guest is somebody that's become a friend of ours over the years. We hang out together and see each other twice a year at the American Equestrian Trade Association. And I'm happy to say has agreed to be a sponsor again for Radiothon. And that's Kelly Hurd of Kelly Hurd Jewelry. Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you, sir?
Good. So good to talk to you. I had fun chatting with you the other day. It's always fun to get caught up on industry gossip. That's always fun.
Absolutely.
Well, Kelly Hurd Jewelry, just for those that don't know, you've been a sponsor of ours before on Radiothon, but for those that don't know, talk a little bit about the history of the company, how you started all that.
Well, we started about 30 years ago. And we traveled from horse show to horse show, whether it was Congress or the Quarter Horse World or the National Finals Rodeo, and sold retail to our jewelry designs. And now we have transitioned that about 15 years ago to where we sell to about 750 retail outlets like Boot Barn or Sheplers or Dover and people like that that carry our designs, primarily in silver, where it's affordable for everybody, but they also have the option of buying something in gold. And they can always visit our website, too, at kellyhurdjewelry.com. And if they want a custom piece, which is the sort of what we're doing now with our Win Your Dog contest, then we're able to do that for them, too.
Well, I want to get to that. I'll get to that in just a minute. But you talked about gold. Jamie, Jennifer has this chain, and she has a stone on it that we actually mined ourselves in North Carolina, and she had it made into this necklace. Been wearing it for years. Well, the chain broke. The gold chain broke. We went to look at gold chains, Kelly. Oh, my God. A simple, basic gold chain was like $400. It was crazy.
I know. I know. You know, gold used to, around 2004, 2005, gold was about $310, $315 an ounce. Today, it's $1,225. And it's got as high as almost $1,800. It's just wow. Made Oof. Everything go through the roof. Yeah.
Silver it is. And everybody likes right. silver better anyway.
But well, you know, we have a little say. We say that silver is the new gold. Because the look of silver and the look of white gold have become so popular over the years. And it just has been made everybody happy, and everybody can afford to do it.
You know what? When I turned 40, people told me 40 was a new 30. So you can tell me lies. I'll believe it. It's fine.
No, that is the truth. That's the truth. A ton of silver consumers now, but the diehard gold people, we still do all that kind of work for them as well. So,
Kelly, I got to ask you. You have so many different designs for horse people. What's the most popular line? What's the most popular designs? Is it foxes? What is it?
Well, we tell people we're 10% English and 10% Western and 80% for everybody, and really that holds true. So we do a lot of stone-heavy pieces, whether designs in horseshoes or buckles, and that transcends whether you're a hunter or jumper or you're a quarter horse person or a rodeo person. We still do a lot of event pieces, so if you're a hunter jumper, we can make that horse for you. If you're riding trail or Western pleasure, we have those designs too, as well as reiners. So it's real jewelry is immensely personal to someone because it reflects how they feel about either their horse or their feelings or their hobbies. But for people who are just lifestyle enthusiasts, then they tend to reach out to get something with a horseshoe or a buckle or something like that that just reminds them of the lifestyle they love.
The piece that I got from my dear, sweet husband, it's a ring, and the actual band around your finger looks like a rope. And the amazing detail on this, and it has a big, beautiful blue stone on it. And a horseshoe round. I just love it. And what's great about your stuff is not that my husband's super cheap or whatever, because, I mean, really, but your stuff is so affordable. You know, you kind of have such a broad spectrum of pricing and affordability. And that's why I think you're such a great fit for the Horse Radio Network, because we have a little bit of everything here, people that listen, and then you have a little bit of something to offer every single person that would listen.
Well, that's true. I mean, we have pieces of jewelry that are just absolutely gorgeous. One of our best-selling rings retails for $69. I mean, it's something that if you're 10 years old or if you're 50 years old, it's still very popular.
Yeah.
We sell pieces well over $100,000. So we have a little bit something for everybody who wants to come shop with us.
So Chad is Glenn, a cheapskate. He didn't get you Glenn, the $100,000 one.
That's not the one I got. Okay. that's not it. I think my ring was the $69 one, honestly.
Well, now you have something going on, Kelly, we wanted to mention. First of all, thank you for supporting Radiothon again. We're going to have four gift certificates that we're giving away during the day during Radiothon. So people are going to have a very nice Christmas that win those. But you have a dog contest going on right now. I wanted to talk about, because all of us have dogs and we love our dogs. And Jamie, I'm thinking of a certain dog of yours that was adopted that should be entered into this.
I'm just saying, you don't even need to talk about this, Glenn. Lucky is clearly going to win.
So tell us about the contest.
Well, we came up with this idea to go through either our website at kellyherdjewelry.com/winyourdog or go to our Facebook. And we simply want to expand the brand out a little bit for those people who may or may not know us. And you submit an image of your dog. And you've got between now and Halloween, October 31st, to submit your dog. And we've had 100 and some odd entries in the past day. And then we will choose a group of the finalists and let our Facebook viewers choose the final one. And I will make their particular dog for them in silver at absolutely no charge.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. I want to do it. Okay. Do you realize you're talking to horse people about sending pictures of their dogs? You're gonna have 400,000 images in, like, the next day.
That's what I told my staff. I said, everybody in the horse industry loves their horse. They have the horse, but they may have one horse, they may have two horses, but they'll have three or four dogs.
They have 12 dogs. What are you talking about?
Those dogs crawl up in bed with them. They eat with them at the table. They ride with them in the truck. Every dog picture we've gotten a story to go with, and it's just fantastic.
Well, now, how many Jack Russells? Are they all Jack Russells and the other part corgis or what?
Well, corgis have dominated the images so far, and Jack Russells have too. In fact, I just spoke to the Jack Russell Association a couple of days ago, and they were excited about the giveaway, and were looking, talking to me about making some things for them as well.
I have a Jack Russell, just saying.
we've got blue heelers, we've got Irish heelers, we've got a lot of German shepherds. Really surprised me.
Well, you're about to get a greyhound. You're about to get a greyhound. I'm sending my greyhound today. And we can enter this, Jamie, and this is one contest we're allowed to enter.
We are allowed to enter it. I'm pretty sure that Basset Hounds should win because, I mean, come on. It's a Basset Hound. They're like so
I'm sure he loves carving those little ears in silver.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, and we've had some Yorkies enter the contest, too, so that might be just a little bit of a challenge. But they are just and pictures of where the dogs are. They're either riding on the boat, or they're riding on a saddle, or they're sitting in a chair. One's guarding a baby. You know, they've got a little bit of everything.
Well, I hope we get to see all the pictures somehow. Maybe put them up on your website on KellyHerdJewelry.com and just let us see who the non-winners were, because I think does anybody not love pictures of people's dogs? I mean, come on.
That is true. That is true. And all these pictures of winners and the stories that go with them are fantastic. It's just nice to be able to do something like this and have such a crowd, have so much attention to it. It's just great.
Where can people send them, Glenn?
Yeah, I posted it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page and my personal page this morning. So you find it on both. Just look there. And I posted the link so you can just go directly to that link and enter. We're talking a $2,500 value here. So there is 99% of our listeners will never go out and get a custom $2,500 necklace made of their pet. So this is a perfect opportunity to enter the contest and try and win this thing. So thank you, Kelly, for doing it. And we'll look forward to hearing all about your stuff on Cyber Monday.
Sounds like a plan. Good talking to you, Glenn. Y'all have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Kelly.
Do you know how much it would just irritate Chad if I had like a custom made piece of Lucky? Because Chad literally cannot stand that dog. Because that dog is all about me. All the time. And when I'm not around, apparently Lucky just cries. He's like, the dog. Oh, my God.
That would be
please.
Funny, though, wouldn't it? It would be funny to do that.
I'd be like, hey, baby.
Instead of his dog.
Custom-made. Yeah, exactly. His dog's Danny. Mine is Lucky.
You know what would be really, really irritate him is if you sent both pictures in and Lucky still won. That would get him.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, Really Bad Ads today. We have two sponsors for Really Bad Ads today. Let's hear from the first.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half-chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. OvationRiding.com.
So we're also brought to you by Tack of the Day. And I don't know anybody in our audience who doesn't know about Tack of the Day, but one of the nice things about Tack of the Day is we're the only place that you're going to hear in advance on what comes out at noon. Now remember, Tack of the Day is a site where products change on a regular basis, usually every day. So at noontime is when they change. I don't know who set that up, but at noontime is when they change. Oh, yeah. And we're going to give you a weekend spoiler alert. So coming up at noontime, they have carrots quarter zips for people. They have lots of horse blankets by, is it Buckus or Bucas? Buckus, B-U-C-C-A-S. Jennifer, do you know how we pronounce that?
Bucqua.
Bucqua?
Yeah, I like that. That's how you say it. Just go with it.
No matter,
just say something and own it. Yeah,
no matter how you say it, they have a bunch of horse blankets, which we're coming into the season where it's getting really cold in places. Turnout stable sheets. They have a whole bunch of those that are going to be coming out this weekend. But remember, it only goes till Monday, and then they're going to change it out. So you have to get on there. Plus, sometimes they have limited sizes or colors and certain sizes. So you want to be the first. You want to go right at noon. And then they have a whole ton of new saddle pads, clothing from Horsewear, and a bunch of other stuff. So go to tackoftheday.com at noontime today. Make sure there's actually people. I know when I used to do this, there were people that set their alarms on their phones every day for noon so they would go check. And do you know why we did it at noon, by the way?
Why?
Because people were on their lunch breaks at work.
Ah.
And they could go right away and check on their lunch break.
And not to be whatever East Coaster, but it's kind of annoying when you are used to getting your emails at noon and you live on the West Coast and it comes at 9 a.m.
Yeah, well, we don't care about you West Coasters. So that's But that's why we did it at noon, was so that people could check on their lunch breaks. And it turned out to work very well that way. So tackoftheday.com. Go take a look at it today. Plus, there's some products up there right now till noon. So if you want to see what's up there till noon, and then it will change. Horse blankets this weekend, some carrots products, and some clothing from Horsewear. The prize this month is a box of crap from my closet. And also WEG stuff that we picked up while we were there. So that's what we're going to be giving away probably next week on the show. If I remember, if we don't forget again. Gemma's leading the way today.
So professional. I mean, my gosh.
Gemma's leading. We've been doing this a long time. You'd think we'd learn.
Hey, it's Gemma. It's been a while, but here's an ad titled,
"Hi, Gemma.
Looking for Unique Breed Project Horse." Now, she doesn't give a price until the end, so let's see if you can guess how much she is willing to pay for a unique breed. Hello, I am looking to buy a new project horse. I have been riding since I was 10 years old and competed in 4-H, high school rodeo, and mounted archery. I ride both Western and English, as well as teach both. I have worked with many different horses, mostly quarter horses, Arabians, and Mustangs of all ages and experience levels, and absolutely love them. But I am wanting to work with some more unique breeds of horses to become more well-rounded in the horse world. I am looking for breeds like Frisians, Andalusians, Alcalteques, Gypsies, Icelandic, etc. I have some experience with these breeds, but I would love to gain more. This horse would be worked with every day and would be very loved. Their experience level doesn't matter to me, as I have worked with untouched horses to the perfect lesson kid horses and lots in between. My training methods resemble a Ray Hunt type style. I am looking for something between the age of 3 and 10. Mare or gelding, but no studs. I don't have the room for one. Thanks so much for your consideration. If you have a horse or any questions, text or email is the best way to reach me. I can pay at most $3,000, depending on the horse, but I would like to pay less if possible. Thanks!
Do you know why you can't call her? You can only text or email, because she's a millennial and they don't talk on the phone to anybody. Okay. Hold on. Did I get this, that she would like to buy a Frisian or an Andalusian for maybe $3,000
or less?
Like, hopefully less.
Or less, yes. And Gemma, the sarcasm that just drips off her voice.
Oh, she's really good. She needs to read all the teenage voices.
She matches you. I got to say, she matches you, Gemma does.
God, Gemma's like amazing at that. And she has a perfect voice.
Okay, the next one is a horse for sale, and it was sent in by Stephanie. It's a 7-year-old Appy gelding for $1,500. Now,
it's an Appy
Gidding. It's a Gidding. Well, the problem with this ad is punctuation. Punctuation's a bit of an issue with this one. So I'm going to have to read it with the punctuation as it's written. They kind of don't understand commas and things. So this is how it goes. 15.3 hand, comma, S. 1,200 pound, comma, has been picked a lot, comma, packed elk, comma, good to handle, comma, has been picketed off hind feet, space, comma, hobbled, comma, in pack string, comma, S, comma, carried good load, comma, S, 6 day, comma, S, and in the Bob Marshall wilderness, comma, 4 day, comma, S. Head of the Larimore Valley in Yellowstone Park for a day, comma, S. North end of the crazy MTN, comma, S. And numerous other trip, comma, S. Load, comma, S. And shoe, comma, S. Good. Period. Had to start bucking early this summer, comma, hasn't bucked in the last 2 months. Or no, I apologize. Had started bucking early this summer, comma, hasn't bucked in the last 2 months, comma, S. And I feel he is safe enough to start riding again.
Why do you feel that way, comma, S?
Punctuation. They had lots of punctuation. A lot of times we get sentences with no punctuation. This one has a lot of punctuation in all
but
the wrong places.
None of them were where it was supposed to be.
And none of them were right.
There's no spaces.
Apparently, they didn't know where to find the apostrophe button. That one was...
Lord have mercy. Wow.
Comma S.
Wow. Comma S. Georgina sent this one in. This is mules for $500 in Montague. Where's Montague? That sounds awesome. Healthy and well-fed mules, not halter broke. Not tame, will not... load on command.
Or ever.
The white one is male, 1.5 years, born April 2017. The brown one is female, 3.5 years, born spring 2015. Disclaimer. $500 buys me catching and loading the mules as well as delivery to your location. I will likely have to load them with their mother and maybe get another horse to get them in the trailer. Your pen needs to be secure and at least 5 feet tall. Mules are amazing jumpers. If you doubt it, just Google coon jumping. Frequently asked questions. 1. Yes, they are available. 2. Yes, I'm asking $500. Don't ask for my, quote, bottom dollar. 3. Yes, your fence does really need to be 5 feet tall. If I get to your place and it's not, those mules are not coming off my trailer because you're going to be the schmuck on the evening news saying, I didn't know mules could jump like that with two mules galloping down the street in the background. Call or text.
And how many times have we seen that news report? These are some jumping mules here.
No, they jump out of that field. I'm like, oh, man.
Somebody got to get them for an eventer. They got some eventing mules there. Tara sent in the horse trailer of the week in Fort Worth, Texas.
What on earth is this monstrosity?
It's a one-horse trailer. It's really narrow. It was white at one time. Now it's mostly rust. But it has a roof that's like a bouffant hairdo. It kind of goes up and back, and it's just the frame of the roof. There's actually no roof. It's air-conditioned. But it's got a hairdo. It's like a slick-back 50s guy. It's the Fonz.
It's like they've just bent rebar all around to make some sort of sun sprite type thing.
Someone jump out the top.
All I can see is a horse killing itself, getting its face stuck in there.
Did you notice, though, that the bouffant hairdo on the trailer goes back, and then there's a circle right where the head would be? I wonder if this is for giraffes.
That's where the mothership lands.
I don't know. A giraffe sticks its head out the top. And then it has these bat wings that go over the wheels that are... I don't know why the fenders are so wide, but...
Airfoils?
I don't know.
And but what's
it's crazy.
The crack in it, if you stood on that fender, it would just bend straight down.
It would.
And I want to know, what is Granny looking at in there?
Yeah, Granny's looking at something in the trailer. I'm not sure what. But it's $750, or they'll take gun for a part payment.
You know,
welcome
what? I got
to
this big
Texas.
Old gun. I've been looking for a piece of junk trailer. I think I'll trade it.
Part payment.
And give them money.
You could use the trailer for target practice. Probably be a good thing. Oh, wait. It's too many holes in it. You wouldn't hit anything. So we'll just cross that out. I have the next one, too. Tina sent this one in. A registered Arabian horse for sale. $1,000 in Brazos. We do ranch horses and got this one in on a trade. I was told that he had 2 years professional training. Can neither confirm nor deny, as we've seen him do nothing but stand at the feeder, stuffing his face or doing his little fancy Arab trot and snorting like a nut when he sees cows since we got him about 2 weeks ago. Selling him as a project horse. Yeah, no kidding. Selling him as a project horse. All paperwork is in hand.
You know that, like, it's not going to just display the training it has to you if all you have is just a feeder full of hay.
You know what
I mean? It's not like it's like, hey, y'all, watch this. Look what I can do.
These people have had nothing ever but quarter horses, and they got this Arab and went, what the hell are we going to do with that?
That's a cow.
Now, if he had hooked onto that cow and followed him down the fence, they wouldn't be selling that Arab.
Oh my god! That's
anyway.
So funny. All right, how's my sound? The power just flickered here. It seems like I'm still here, right?
You're still here.
Yep.
All right, Michaela sent in the next one. This is from Facebook, and this is where spelling and punctuation is an exciting challenge. What is going on here? Hold on.
Sounds like something's blowing up. What's going on there?
Like I said, the power just flickered here, and apparently that just activated the printer. Which is right above my head. It's going to start shooting papers out at me. You know,
welcome to Professional Podcasting 101.
I'm at my in-laws. I'm lucky the hamster in this computer hasn't gotten tired yet, okay? All right. I am trying to help rehome four mares. Excellent hoe, period. E is of ut, period. Ost importance.
Is this the same person that wrote the one above with all the footnotes?
No. Breeze, comma, mare, comma, is early tomid. 20, comma, broke QH. Sassy B, comma, mare is late teens. Broke was. That's one word. Broke was. Comma, ridden. One word. By kids. Darcy Latins. And her. Period. Prospect. Kia, comma, mare. Unbroke, comma, gentle as a dog. QH, 14 years. Aching. 300 each, but will vary. And then they spelled negotiable correctly. You know, they had to like Google that one. They're like, how do you spell negotiable on price?
Everything else is spelled wrong, but negotiable spelled right.
It's the only thing that's spelled correctly is nego. They're like, nego.
The short, nine. The little words can't get those right, but the big words, we got those.
Hey, Bubba, you got a dictionary on your phone. Bring that over here. Let me spell something for me.
All right. Jennifer, I'll have to keep a couple of these others for next week. We're running out of time here. But let me do the last one that was submitted by a listener. Her name is Lorene, and you all know Lorene.
Oh, yes.
So here we go.
Love it.
Hi, this is Lorene Barden, and I'm going to read a very bad ad. The ad is from Chicago, and it says, animated horse, period, and carriage dash $1,500. And there's a picture of a skeleton horse pulling a carriage with a skeleton on it. And behind the carriage is another skeleton horse with a skeleton riding it. And here's the ad. Animated, period. Life-size horse, period. And carriage, period. Includes a skeleton pony, period. And saddle, period. The life-size skeleton, period. Driver, period. And, period. Life-size horse, period. They make, period. The carriage, period. Is original from the 1920s, period. In excellent, period, shape, period. Great for, period. A business, period. Or, period. A large display. End a paragraph with no punctuation. And that's the whole ad. Thanks. Have a great day. Bye.
I'm crying. That's the end of the show.
That's period. It. Period. It's over. Period. We will be back, next week, period. On Monday, period. Exclamation
spay,
point.
Neuter, gel, exclamation point. Semicolon.
Apostrophe. Semicolon. We have a ridiculous job.
I love her.